Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! My love, thank you, and thank you all for joining in. I'm really excited to be sharing this work in this way. And with this program, I am so excited to be hosting this show. I am excited to be sharing meditations and teachings, education, awareness, little bits of my journey, holding space for that possible nervous question, and really kind of being present to what's emerging through our bodies. To me, that's what the very nature of this journey is what's it like to notice that we can connect with our power and feel really good about who we are by listening to our body. So for that, we're going to begin today with a little bit of a slowing down and listening. Let's get in here. Let's get in our body and use that as a launching point to head into today's topic. So starting with, close your eyes, perhaps. Settle in. And feel. So as you're sinking into feeling in your body, closing your eyes, take a breath. Invite a little exhale with sound. Notice what it's like to give yourself permission to make a little sound. If it feels awkward or uncomfortable, just acknowledge that and let yourself make sound. Vibrate a little. See how it feels as you invite an exhale with some vibration. How does it feel in your body as you start to bring your awareness back towards your center and your midline and down to feel into your root and the way you're relating to the earth? Take a moment to notice that. How are you in relationship with the earth? Is it below you, depending on your orientation? Maybe you're sitting and there's points of contact of your seat or lying down. Feel the way those patches of contact touch the earth through cushions, perhaps, or furniture, or whatever way you're relating to through the floor if you're inside a building. Feel how you're relating to the earth. And take a moment to relax your root gates, relaxing the very possibility of your body to connect with the earth, whatever that is for you in this moment. Relaxing the belly and acknowledging any nervousness or excitement or whatever may be present for you today without judging, witnessing without judging. Notice, I'm feeling a sensation. And we can just witness that. And then as you let go with a little sound, perhaps as an invitation to let go of any heaviness, notice if that breath can invite any heavy, dense energies to drop. And then let yourself open to receive as you inhale. And even emotionally feel a sense of, yes, more please. What's it like to invite in light, the universe, a vibration of aliveness? What's it like to receive that? Let yourself receive that. Know that you deserve to feel good. And And as you let yourself fill with that light and exhale, letting any other bits that are ready to drop wash away. Beautiful. So holding an intention, perhaps today, of health, healing, wholeness, stepping into a new possibility, a new day. We're heading towards a full moon. What do you want to invite into your life? Just hold that. And with that breath of gratitude for taking time for you, gently bring your awareness back into the space, open your eyes, and be. Yay! Welcome again. We are here today exploring what I'm finding is, and I totally acknowledge this for me and for my own self, is sometimes these topics, right? This is the very nature of sacred sexuality and these topics that are so often hidden or shadowy or squashed away into the ethers, because we can feel a little shy about asking questions. We can feel a little nervous about going into that deep root place of the body by ourselves, or even to share or communicate some of these deep inner questions or truths or secrets that are within us. And what's it like to start to gently invite the awareness of some of those questions to come to the surface, or some of those things that want to be seen to come to the surface and witness them. And there's a beautiful journey in that. And it's not always easy or fluffy or happy. It can be quite profound, even when edgy or uncomfortable. And sometimes what I find is how we share or ask questions depends on when we feel safe. And I get a lot of questions privately. So through emails, through phone calls, I will get questions, and I want to focus on two that have come in recently that have some overarching themes that I've seen in my practice and in my journey. And, you know, just acknowledging that others may have similar questions, and what would it be like to explore a few philosophies, a few thoughts on the journey together. So I'm going to start with, so today's topic is really a couple of questions from listeners. And one of those, the first one, is, what are my thoughts on nudism and spirituality? And I'll invite nudism and sexuality. I'll expand that a little bit. So to give a little bit of a philosophy. And then the second question we're going to come to in a little later in the program is the, oh my gosh, my OBGYN recommended this product and I read the ingredients and no way do I want to put that in my body. What do you recommend? And we'll come back into an exploration of that question a little bit later in the program. So first, what are thoughts on nudism and spirituality and sexuality? And I'll begin that with, it was kind of interesting to even get the question as I was like, well, yeah, nudism, that's beautiful, in my opinion. The very journey of getting comfy and safe in my skin and feeling comfortable about who I am has opened my journey into nudism and into feeling comfy and being naked and being nude in different situations. So I'm reading a little bit into that in terms of there is the general community of the naturists and nudists that have communities and different resorts and things like that where you can go to nude beaches, you can go to resorts and feel comfy to or not feel comfy, right? It can be a very nerve-wracking experience to perhaps shed your clothes in a social environment. So I'll call it social nudity. And that what I believe is the very is that it's a piece of getting comfy in our skin, in our deeper connections. It can be woven into what's it like to feel comfy in our skin in sort of social situations, in nudity, where we're taking the sex part of it out of the equation. So let me rewind a bit. We have often, I think in our society, we were born as humans, we're here on this planet, we're born nude, full on naked, and actually skin-to-skin nurturing contact is crucial. It's absolutely crucial to our survival on this planet. And I'll give an example. And actually, at my website, I have a link to this video on a news story that was shared from Australia, where a couple had given birth to twins, and one of the twins was pronounced dead at birth by the medical community. They were at a hospital. And the child was brought to the parents as sort of like, here, you know, pay your last respects, and you know, and kind of they went from there. What the parents did was they stripped down shirts, right? So they're naked, bare skin against the child's naked body, who they held against the mother, and they just pet this child, the little baby, and just shared this deep loving respect for the child. Like, we love you, your sister's name is such and such, and they just kind of went through this loving, accepting energy. They held them in this bubble of energy and really nurturing contact, skin to skin. Within a few minutes, the child starts to make movements, and in a few more minutes, you know, he's opening his eyes and he's suckling breast milk from his mother's finger. And meanwhile, they're trying to get the doctors to come back in to recognize and acknowledge that there's movement, and they're kind of being brushed off, like, oh, that's just, you know, don't get your hopes up. You know, these muscular reactions, it's nothing, reflexes, like, don't get your hopes up. And so it was literally 2 hours later, as the child has really stepped back in, they finally kind of convince the doctors to come take a look. And now they're being interviewed in the video with two, you know, healthy 5 or 6 month old babies. And it's, to me, it was so heart touching to go, oh my gosh, and to see such a direct example that, for me, what, as I perceived it, was really about holding a loving, accepting container of nurturing connection. And they weren't grasping at him, like, oh, we're desperate for you to stay. You know, it was simply, you are welcome here in your skin, you know. And that underscores for me a bit of what that means to me. So we, you know, we lose that connection, even if we had that as infants. There's a point in our lives, often in our society, just based on cultural and societal things that happen, and this is no blame, it just, I've noticed it happens. I think many of us can relate to this. We're born, and as babies, maybe we're nurtured and held, and there's snuggle time, and maybe breastfeeding and direct contact with mama, skin to skin. And then there becomes this point where suddenly that's wrong, and we start to turn it off. And as kids, as we grow up to get old enough to know or to hear the direction, we are told, keep your hands to yourself, or don't touch, or don't, you know. And so suddenly now we're put into this box of touch is bad, connection's bad, I can't make contact. And it's confusing to often when we're really small, because that's a really, it's kind of a known inbred thing that we come in with, that we're mammals. And, you know, have you ever seen a pile of piglets, baby piglets, they're all piled on top of each other, and there's, like, you know, little kittens, same thing, they're just in piles, and, you know, suddenly there's a paw and a nose, and, like, they're in these great, snugly connected contact that's super nurturing to life. In contrast, there are studies as well that show how, when we don't have human contact, how we don't thrive, and that's unfortunate, some of the things that are out there around that as well. So my point being, we get sort of, you know, that's important. And then we get kind of trained away from it. Like, don't touch, keep your hands to yourself. And then what happens is we kind of stumble back into it, but only with one purpose. Like, it becomes, ooh, we start to enter puberty, we get this hormonal shift, we get those sexy feelings, and suddenly now we're interested in making contact with other people again. But it's all from this place of, kind of from a sexual driven place. And while there's nothing wrong with that innately, what happens is if that now becomes the pattern, that the only way I can reach out and make contact and feel a snuggle or have my hand held or share a warm touch starts to get patterned with, it has to be about sex. That now once I can do that, I want to try this, and I want to, and then this whole pattern sets up that there's an expectation around touch equals sex. And then what we deal with much later is, oh my gosh, we have so many needs around our beings as mammals of being in shared contact. And yet we, the only way we know how to get those met is through sexual experiences and overtly sexual experiences. I'll also invite, frankly, our sexuality is not just about sex in the bedroom sex, as we've talked about before. And yet what I'm referring to here is like that it has to be that sex-driven thing. So now that's a pretty hard pattern, because we have, as humans, needs for contact and touch and shared skin, and that it doesn't have to immediately drive towards sex. So because it's been patterned that that's the only way we can get that need met, sometimes we just race past that sort of awareness, and it becomes really murky and shadowy and uncomfortable. And some will find that they will start pulling away strongly, while some will find they start grasping strongly. And then there's a big energetic dynamic of a push-pull that gets really energetically messy very fast. So my point with all of that was to say, instead of forcing ourselves to go into an old pattern, what's it like to unwind that pattern and to go, oh, my body is safe and good and clean. That can be a repatterning from what we learned. I'm important, and it's okay to be in my skin. And that there is, you know, it's like we've patterned that there's some box we have to draw about around genitals or around nipples that says, well, they're not allowed to be seen in public because that's bad. Well, I want to invite why. We're natural human body beings. It's not about racing into sexual connections every time we make contact. So, although it tends to go that way, but if I could unpattern all the patterning, what I see is we can be safe and comfy in our skin. We can wear clothing in terms of the sense of protection and basic needs, but why did we bind ourselves up in so many layers? certainly protection from weather and elements and things like that, but these layers are layers of kind of shielding we're hanging on to. So back to then nudism, I see it as what it's been for me, because I was several decades in my life before I was ever comfy naked outside of my own bedroom with closed doors. You know, so just to be clear, this was me that was, I was a naked transition person, I called it, right? Like I would get undressed to get in the shower and then to get out and then get dressed again. You know, I'd get undressed maybe to have sex, not necessarily always that actually, but that like it was only to serve a purpose of transition. I was always clothed. I slept in clothing. I walked around all day in clothing. And then a couple of, after this spiritual awakening, I started to wake up to see that for me, I was racing around in such a bound up manner and really not listening to my body, that to start to listen to it meant, let's listen to it and not just hide it as I had under baggy layers of clothes. Like, oh my gosh, I had at one point weighed 50 pounds overweight, well overweight. And I got so used to in my pattern, assuming that I'm this big, huge, clunky person, that's the way I had viewed myself, that even when I did lose that weight, it was so tenuous. I was always worried. I don't know, I could gain it back with one bite. One wrong bite is going to screw it up. But I carried this pattern again that, and this story that I was telling myself, that I was big and heavy and clunky, and I wore these big, heavy sweatshirts and this, you know, sort of cumbersome jeans, or, you know, at work, back in my engineering corporate days, I'd wear big khakis and polo shirts, but really big. We're talking like sizes way too large for my frame. And it wasn't until after this wake-up call that I had that I started to go, wait a minute, part of trusting my body is to reveal and trust it. So I don't mean that I went bounding out into a big social nudity situation at first. First, it was like, let me get comfy in my skin here in my own home. And just getting a little more comfy with like walking around, like, hey, I'm going to do dishes naked, or I'm going to share a meal with someone, you know, and starting, like, so for me, that journey was a bit of that piece. And then there was this like, well, it's freeing to not have to worry about clothes. There's a freedom to that. It feels very, for me, it's very much a sense of, there's so much less fussing. You know, if I want to go somewhere and you know, go to, a place that is a nudist resort, for example, when I go there, I don't have to pack all the things. You don't have to pack a swimsuit to get in the pool. I don't have to pack this or that or this or that. It's very freeing to just be like, oh, when I'm ready to jump in the pool, I jump in the pool. When I'm ready to be out, I get out. If I'm cool, I wrap a towel around me, if I'm, you know, or whatever. So just to be kind of, to me, it's like it became this interesting kind of blunt awareness, like, wow, it's just so much simpler. So I've enjoyed that. And as I did step into a little more social nudity, gosh, was I nervous. Like the first few times I did that, I was just like constantly self-aware, just worried about somebody seeing me or blah, blah, blah. And it got, you know, it just took a little practice and a little comfy, or a little journey of getting comfortable in my skin. And then I'll invite taking that even further, that it's as we can unwind that because I'm naked means that somebody's going to look at me sexually or that it has to be sexual. And even if that happens, the point is if we're clear about who we are and our boundaries and what we're holding and the space and the container we're holding for our own being, we don't have anything to worry about. That's with the assumption that people aren't being overtly rude, like overtly disrespectful or pushing boundaries or breaking intention or integrity. And that's a different story. But in these, you know, you can create a safe space for yourself to feel good in your skin and to feel good about making contact and coming into relationship with other beings and not having to have it patterned directly into sexuality. And then I'll bite a step even further is, as that became more comfortable for me, bringing my sexuality into nude situations when appropriate, honoring my own boundaries and other boundaries, that is even more profound because it's just another level of clarity for me of getting, again, comfortable about who I am and the space I hold for myself and others. And sex isn't just about the energy. You know, our sexual energy is profound. Feeling it is just a delight of us connecting with our own authentic bliss. Feeling it and then acting on it with a behavior is a different story. And if we're acting on it with a behavior that's not appropriate for the boundaries of the container being held for either person or the space, there's so many places that container comes in, then that's, you know, that's something to be looked at, and that's a different story altogether. What I'm talking about are intentional choices and, you know, not harming, so not hurting myself or anyone or anything, and just letting myself be who I am and feel good about who I am. So to me, nudism is a way, nudism as the, if we think of it in sort of the social construct of the culture of nudism, is like, let ourselves be who we are. How fabulous. And get really clear about making choices and honoring what we need around the behaviors and the actions. Because it's the energy is not, you know, just because we feel sexual energy does not mean we should be going and grabbing somebody and jumping on top of them in an inappropriate way or something like that. That's a different story altogether. So this invitation of slowing down, listening to our body, honoring that we are naturally, innately in human physical form, and what a gift that is to be in a body, and then what a delight that is to really be in that body and not feel that we have to hide it. Delight to me. So all that said, doesn't mean that we have to force anything that doesn't feel good. And wearing clothes is not a bad thing either, just to be clear. I wear them a lot. So as we kind of bring that bit of philosophy to a close, I want to take a short break and come back for the next piece of our topic and this next question around our yoni.
Thank you, Leslie. You are listening live to Body Mind Spirit Radio. Today is August 18th, 2015, and you're listening live with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie or ask a question, please give us a call at 646-378-0378. And that number again is 646-378-0378. 888-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay. Thank you, Courtney. And I do welcome hearing from you. I love that these questions are coming in, and how they come in is beautiful. Like, whether that's, if you're feeling called, a little nervous to call in and just listen. You don't have to speak live. And then maybe email me a question. I'd love to address it. So the next one is something that came up with a beautiful friend of mine who reached out recently. And basically it went something like this, like, My OBGYN recommended this product and I bought it, and then I looked at the ingredients and went, oh my gosh, I don't want to put that in my yoni. What do you recommend? So I started with, okay, well, what are you seeking? Like, what are we going for here? And so I want to rewind. It can feel really nervous and uncomfortable to talk about like sex with our practitioners, or to talk about those private areas of, say, our yoni, which yoni is a term in Sanskrit meaning sacred space. It's what I will refer to as women's genitalia. And sacred space, let's just pause there. Sacred space, yoni, Y-O-N-I. It's a word I use often because to me it feels so respectful of the female body and the temple of sacred space that is our vagina and our womb and labia and vulva. I kind of use it as an all-encompassing term, but sacred space, what a profound honoring of the temple of the body. Can I just pause with that? Yeah. And so she was like, I don't want to put this inside me. And I read the ingredients and I was like, God, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. So I said, and, you know, what are you seeking? Because I could make some assumptions, but I didn't want to assume. And sure enough, it was a question of, you know, vaginal dryness, perhaps heading into perimenopause or menopausal years and hormonal shifts that can impact the way the yoni feels, and also entering into a new relationship. And this was the shy part of what I was reading between the lines, was, yes, I believe that there was this sexual partnership with a male in this case. And so there was this question of lubrication during sex that was sort of not being mentioned directly, and I believe part of the question. So the product, I believe, that she was looking at was something for vaginal lubrication or personal lubricant. And these are things that sometimes people feel really shy to talk about. So I wanted to share a little bit about my perspectives on that. And to me, this is a two-pronged approach. Yes, there is a question of the product, and I'm going to expand on that. But there's a second piece in terms of our yoni and its lubrication, or I'll call it its juiciness, is not just about grabbing a product. Now, products can also be a beautiful supplement. So I'm going to talk about two things, the product question, and we're going to delve into a little bit more about my view around what can we do to support our yoni to her fullest state of health and juiciness and invitation to invite a partner inside through her own voice, through our body, listening to our body, through the voice of our yoni, not just the voice of our head or the voice of our partner's head or the voice of that, you know, excitement in the moment, but really deeply listening to the physical, to our body and how she wants to express in our yoni. So we're going to touch on these two pieces, the product and our body. So let me start with the product, a little more of a direct answer. So what I have found in my journey, and I welcome if anyone has any thoughts that they would like to share as well, again, send me an email or call in. My view is, anything, and this has changed over my life. Like, I used to use standard lubricants, you know, off the shelf, you know, at the sex toy stores, the fun ones with the colors and the flavors. And there's like, I got to this point where I was like, what am I doing? These things have so much artificial X, Y, and Z. why am I can't do this. And so gradually over time, things like that have dropped away. And I really, it's all a journey, right? So bottom line is, this is always a personal choice. I just want to give some things to be aware of in terms of, as you're making that choice, consider, what does it feel like for your body? So as I dropped away the things that seemed pretty overtly artificial, that felt good, actually. I used to have yeast infections and urinary tract infections and things that were all lighting up for, I believe, different reasons during my life. Neither of those have been a part of my life for quite some time, and I believe changes in what I put on or in my body has changed that drastically. So my theory is, if I'm putting something inside my yoni, it better be something that I'm comfy eating. Like, it better be something that, it should be as natural and as close to the source of the earth as possible. So clean, simple, and not artificial stuff. Now, the artificial stuff thing has a big, wide uncertainty band. So my first reaction is, my lubricant of choice, or what I would use and feel safe inside and out of my body, I could eat it, put it in my nose if I want to, I can put it in my yoni if I want to, I can put it in my anus, I feel super comfy all the way around, is good quality, pure coconut oil. Without any extra added stuff, without flavorings, without scents. In fact, refined coconut oil tends to not have a scent at all, which is a little bit of my preference, although some people prefer the unrefined, which will have more of that coconutty aroma. I prefer without the aroma at all. So it's a fragrance-free, simple source of yummy, slippery goodness. Now, the only downside to that is that does not make happy friends with latex condoms. So it can break down latex. Not a good idea if that's a part of your exploration. It's something to consider. Another factor that came out through this conversation actually was that, wow, you know, from an Ayurvedic standpoint, I believe coconut is rather cooling. And so this particular person wanted a warming. She went to her Ayurvedic source and found that ghee, clarified butter, was recommended, and actually she worked with some specific herbs she was working with, so she did a blend and has found it to work beautifully. So that's another beautiful option. Ghee is also another wonderful natural lubricant, probably with the same concern, because it's oil, to not use with latex condoms. But something to consider there. So all that said, for those who are like, well, you know, I need water-based, it's got to be water-based because latex condoms are important for me. Now, mind you, consider another source of condoms. So there's polyisoprene, which these types of oils are safe to use with. So that's one consideration. But let's just say water-based is really the direction you want to go. What I found is the only thing that I've actually used that I feel comfy, and I don't use it in my yoni personally, but I have worked with it with anal penetration. And that is a product called Silk, S-Y-L-K. And what you're going to find with any water-based lubricant, Silk included, is there's going to, because it's water-based and the nature of keeping things fresh and having at least some shelf life. So unless you're going to prepare, make a preparation from, you know, fresh herbs or fresh aloe or whatever it is you're going to use as a lubricant, unless you're going to make that fresh and then refrigerate it or keep it, for, you know, maybe it's only like a week and then you start over, that's one way. But unless you do that, you've got to have something that's going to give it a shelf life. My preference is I would rather actually not have anything added and just make it myself if I were going to have to go down that route. And that's a lot of work. But in the water-based realm, some of these lubricants that have more of a shelf life, they do have some light antibacterials and sometimes chemical preservatives. To me, Silk had a good balance. Like, one of the preservatives they use in it is a natural preservative, grapefruit seed extract, and that felt good for me. So that one. There's also a product that I haven't actually personally tried. It was recommended to me. I read through it. There are a couple of chemical ingredients in it that are preservatives that I asked about, and she said, "Yeah, we just had no shelf life without them." I don't know if they've tried other preservative options, but that product is Yoni's Bliss. And had a great intention. Just my question was, for me, the chemical preservatives didn't feel like a good fit. So these are the types of product considerations to consider. And frankly, what I encourage is, like, don't beat yourself up at, oh my gosh, I'm using, you know, product X, Y, or Z, and it's filled with all of these things, and suddenly you're feeling bad about it. Don't feel bad as a judgment of yourself. Just check in. Does it authentically feel like something you want to shift because you're noticing it? Great. Maybe try another option. And if you're like, nope, I'm going for it, great. This is all your choice. I'm offering ways and possibilities to consider other options, because sometimes it's nice to have other options. So those were my thoughts on products. Here's the key point to me that goes along with the discussion on products. While products are fine and wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to have extra lubrication in certain situations, or I also invite a really core concept that listen to your body, and especially our yoni. And I've talked about this on other shows as well. We've explored it at different times when I've talked about the speed of sex, or we've talked about orgasmic repertoire, that our yoni sometimes is needing to be heard and is getting a little bit flown over by the brain. So what I've found in my journey of listening to my body is my body communicates at a very much slower pace than my 99 miles an hour head. So for me, what that means is I've got to slow down to really listen. What is being asked for in this moment? What does my yoni say? And what I found, I did an exercise. I'll share this story because this to me sums it up. This is where the aha moment for me happened. And I did an exercise that I actually invite in practice with everyone I work with. Whenever I'm working with clients, when I'm teaching classes, this is the foundation to me of really creating a container for what feels good and safe. How can I listen to my body to start to negotiate what feels good and safe and wonderful to proceed to connect with my bliss? And this practice has to do with, it's a practice of feeling into physical space and boundaries, or what I'll call container. The container that supports transformation. So boundaries aren't a set of restrictions. They're not things that hold us back from anything. They're actually the space holder, the container for possibility and change. So boundaries actually support freedom. And where I noticed this very viscerally was in an exercise working with another person. And I had brought this person very close and held them there for the whole exercise, while other people in the exercise were moving people back and forth and things like that, and exploring and inquiring. I was just like, boom, she's 2 inches from my face. And the rule in the exercise, we weren't going to touch. So I had brought her in to as close as we could be without touching and held her there. So for the first breath, I was like, yeah, this is great. Then, oh my goodness. My body started to be like, my breath is really shallow and high. And I can feel it right now. I can feel it in my body. My belly kind of clenched and tucked. My butt tucked under. My tension, you know, tension in my solar plexus. And my breathing was kind of shallow and rapid. Like, you know, like, okay, I'm kind of all up here and I'm nervous. But I wasn't willing to admit that. So what was happening was my body was screaming, ooh, I'm nervous. I don't feel safe and good. And my head was like, what? Are you kidding me? You're fine. This person isn't going to hurt you. You know, they're a lovely person you met in class. We're in a safe space. Nobody's got a gun. What's your problem? And my head was basically like, okay, don't worry about it. We're fine. And I stayed. I overrode it. So two things happened, I noticed. And I was like, I was kind of blown away, because the other thing that came in was, besides, you know, you don't want her to think you don't like her. You don't want to have her back up, because that was an option, absolutely an option offered. But you don't want her to think that you don't like her. So we sat down to reflect afterwards, and immediately it came in. I was like, oh, and I could see it, and she could help me see it. It was really beautiful. Where I went, oh my gosh, what I effectively just did there was I said, my head came in and said, body, you're not important. I'm not listening to you. And my body was screaming, but I don't feel good. I don't feel safe. And my head was saying, you're not important. I'm not listening to you. And what I noticed that day, it kind of popped open a little portal into my past over the past several decades where I could see all the times where, not all that clearly, but I began to see the times that I had pushed my body past what it was asking for over and over and over and over again, to the point that it was daily practice. Like I didn't view it as really, I wasn't abusing myself, not intentionally self-hurting or not intentionally like trying to, force something. It was this unconscious daily thing. I just didn't listen. And I could see, like, even in a partnership, I was in a marriage prior to that, and I could see back into that where, you know, back in that sex life, had you asked me at the time, I would have said, yeah, I have a good sex life. I enjoyed sex. But I could see how many times over and over and over again, I'd be like, well, I want sex just as much as you do right now. So let's go. You know, even if my yoni doesn't feel ready, if it's dry or there's tightness or discomfort or pain, I'd be like, okay, let's just grab the lube. That was in my lube days, my intense lube days. Let's just grab the lube and get inside me now. And I was forcing it. Now, that's not bad, right? Like, I could look at that and go, my gosh, what did I do to myself all these years? No, it just, but by noticing it, I can now give myself permission to shift it. Like, oh, you know, maybe something else might feel good. I don't know until I try. So what I'll invite is not just only lubes or products. And again, it's not a bad thing to have them. What's it like to also listen and go, is this really an authentic question of, wow, it'd be really lovely to have some lubricant support now? Or is this a question of, there's a little message coming from my body that says something's not quite the way I need it to be to feel good, to really let go? And is there a way I can meet that need? And as I do, can I notice again what happens as I meet that need? Like, I notice that I'm feeling that tension, or I notice that I'm feeling this discomfort or this message. Can I make a shift? Maybe it's to, ooh, could we slow down for a breath? Could I just feel you rest against me? Let's hold here. Could I have your hand just hold my yoni without rubbing or prodding? Just hold and rest in stillness together and take a few breaths deeply down into my pelvis with me without prodding or poking, and just make the circuit connection with my partner. That's one of many possible shift options. It's just one. But what's it like to listen? After a few breaths there, does my yoni say, oh yeah, that. Oh yes, please. You know? So notice, is she pulled in and up and, I don't know if I'm ready. And my head's like, of course I'm ready. Let's go. Or is she really, yes, please. And sharing and revealing herself and her juiciness and literally checking in. And what combination feels good? What combination of that space you want to hold? And maybe, yeah, and let's also use this product. And again, beautiful, no worries. So that's my invitation for the second piece, that it isn't necessarily only what's the best product to use to sort of, quote, fix something, because there's nothing to be fixed, or we're not broken. But we might like a supplement. We might like something that sort of helps us bridge into a place that the body says, yes, please. Or maybe we can also listen and go, oh, I didn't know I could make that support for myself. Really? Are you serious? Yeah. My love and I this morning, literally just this morning, we were making love and had this just profoundly beautiful, different experience. And it kind of, this movement thing happened in my spine and it was just delightful. And I rolled over. I'm like, you know what? I had kind of an aha moment. I'm like, we have been together for 5.5 years. And we keep saying, it's just so amazing. It always feels like it's just beginning. Like there's something new. And we've both been in relationships where that was different, where we would maybe get into, especially in the sexual realms, into something that's really a pattern, like sex always looked the same way. It just, that was it. That's what you knew. That's what you did. Da, 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 da. And that hasn't been the case. And I went, you know what? It's just about giving ourselves permission to let it be different. You know, it's, there's no blame for our partner or for ourselves. We just go, oh, if we don't want it to look exactly the same way, then what's it like to slow down and give it space to not look exactly the same way? If we just rush into the only thing we know, that's the only thing we know. It's the only thing we're going to see. Can we slow down? Give some space to let the energy flow in a different way. Listen to my body so that I can actually listen to that energy and see what it's inviting and how it wants to flow differently. Because I might ask for something that doesn't, or my partner might check in with something, or something might emerge that we never even knew was something to explore. So I love to offer that there's so many possibilities, and that by putting that out there, that there's such a realm of orgasmic repertoire and possibilities and ways we can connect and physical connection spaces and different ways that our bodies can come in contact in a whole repertoire of styles and ways, that not that it's not to offer that when you hear that, you go, oh God, I'm not doing it right. Mine always looks the same way. No, no, no. That's not what I'm saying. It's a yes and thing. It's yes, delight in what you're experiencing, and what's it like to explore something more too, different, just as a way to explore something new. I'm reminded, I was actually the president of a triathlon, swimming triathlon club for years before this big awakening shift that I had. And even then, my mantra that I would invite people is, when was the last time you did something for the first time? And so that just came in. I'll invite it again. When was the last time you did something for the first time? You'd kind of explored something new or gave, I'll put it this way now. When was the last time you gave space for something new to emerge instead of just about doing? It's not just about doing. So that invitation I will plant out into the ethers. And I invite you to receive it and join me in a few moments as we take a few more breaths together to continue the final piece.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. Announcing the 2015-2016 Mystery School Year of Sacred Sexuality classes are now posted and open for registration. See the website for more details. The best way to get announcements about upcoming classes is to subscribe to the email newsletter, about 1 to 2 per month, link available under contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under event calendar to join in. The next one is Wednesday, September 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Curious about Mystery School, the Temple Arts offerings, but not sure where to start? Join us at a temple community gathering. The next one is Sunday, September 6th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School, the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome and not required. Please email Leslie to RSVP and for location details. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website at www.mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. And now I return you to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Invite that breath once again. Let yourself feel in your body, feel your breath. And exhale down, dropping your awareness once again deep into your belly, your root. Dropping your awareness back wide in the body. And take a moment to really delight in noticing one thing about your body in this moment. Maybe there's a little place that's communicating something with you. You don't have to overfigure out what the communication is. Just notice it. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little pressure against my left knee. I'm feeling a little sparkly flutter across my cheeks. And I'm noticing a little band is kind of tight across my solar plexus area in the center of my body. These felt sense experiences can be so delightful to start to rewind the stories I write around my body. Can I notice simply the sensory experience of being in my body? Eventually we may come back to wanting to know a little bit more about that. What's the emotion or what's the story we write? But what's it like to rewind from that for a moment? That can be new territory. Simply feeling a sensory experience as a way to start to listen to the body. As I feel that flutter across my cheeks, there's a little smiley, like it's kind of makes me feel smiley. A little smile happens. And let yourself lift your head and bring your gaze, even with eyes closed, just bring a lengthening in your spine and your gaze behind closed eyes upward a little bit. How does that feel in your body? Do you notice any changes? So with a deep breath of gratitude for taking time to explore today for yourself new possibilities, give yourself that internal wiggle, hug, happy dance, and celebrate that, yep, you took some time to listen. Take a moment to drop away something, some limiting thought. Was there something that you just sat with today that went, oh, I don't have to buy into that anymore? Some story that you can let go of. I invite you to drop it right now with a And then as we head towards this next full moon cycle, is there something you want to breathe in and bring into your life? Patience or courage? Or the support to slow down, to listen. Whatever it may be, let yourself breathe that in. Feel that you deserve it, because you do. And hold that with the breath of gratitude. Thank you for sharing with me once again. I look forward to sharing again more soon. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website. mysteryschoolofthetempleArts.com, which is a private temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.